Esther Moore, your dear wife and congregation. Such a easy church to preach to. And that's a testimony of your pastor. I had a good time today. It was fun. We ate too much. I don't see how Mrs. Sharon makes those yeast rolls without gaining weight. I just don't know how that could happen. But David, I'm proud of you. Keep doing it. Keep up the good work. Because missionaries, that's where it's at. Right there. And we need to pray for those missionaries all over the world. Sun never sets on Western Hills Baptist Church. It's amazing. I was sitting in a church in Ocala, and there came in Brother Pontius from Mexico. And we recognized each other because he had just been here. And I've been in Brother Sam and Miss Blessy's home. They even cooked fried chicken for us, for me and Brother Elliot, and such a needy field. I thank the Lord for the mission thrust, the mission heart of Western Hills Baptist Church. Amen. Pastor Moore. It's been a great day. Take your Bibles and go to Proverbs chapter 15. Don't stand quite yet. I'm sorry. let me give you a little introduction here. Ways to find a merry heart. We need more merry hearts. Amen. There's a lot of them in this church. I'm preaching to the choir. But we live in a country that may never be the same. A lot going on. Pastor Lane said there may be one day when pastors get up to preach and they get hauled off to jail for their stand for the Word of God. And China is committed and endeavoring to overthrowing America without ever firing a shot, and is well on the way. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Jesus said this. He says, "I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." In the book of John, you don't have to turn there, but it talks about the devil. Jesus is speaking in John. He says this in 8:44, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Remember, the enemy is full of lies, folks. There's no truth in him. There's so much gloom today. You have to be careful watching the news. It'll get you depressed, won't it? There's gloom and doom. People are depressed more than ever I've seen. Distressed. There's death, disease, despair, negativity. Yet, we have hope in God. Praise the Lord. We take courage. We can have a vision. We can have a fresh vision from the Lord. Without a vision, the people perish, the Bible says. The rapture has not happened yet. One day it will. He's coming back. Amen. He's going to some golden day break. There could be one last awakening. I don't know if you believe that or not. There could be one big last revival before it just even gets worse. And I believe God can do that. Nothing's impossible with the Lord. Our country may never be the same. Think of this. It could even be better. Have you thought about that? Better than ever. God can do that. Remember, God breaks things before He uses them. And just like the clouds break in the water. And I was back there after the services this morning, and I just love how you fix that foyer out. That is beautiful. There's a little pamphlet there on brokenness. I think that's great because a lot of people are searching for God. They're searching for answers, and they can come in and get that. Chronicles, you know the verse. 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people, which are called by my name," a lot of us were praying that before this election, weren't we? "Which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I'm thankful for that. God is working. Pastor, you said that to me this morning. I asked Pastor Moore, how's things going? He says, really, God is working. He still is working. God is speaking. The problem is we're not listening. God is with us. Praise the Lord. He's our Emmanuel. We can have peace in the midst of the storm. God is in control. He is sovereign. He's all-knowing. He's omniscient. He's all-powerful. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He can be anywhere He wants to be. And so we have a lot to be cheerful about. God is not finished with you. He's not finished. You've not ran your course yet. He still has plans for you and for me. And I'm thankful that God's mercy endureth forever. So my dear brothers and sisters, what a blessing to see you folks. Come in and just see what God is doing and your faithfulness and your encouragement. I came here with three goals, I guess, or things I was praying about. I wanted to first lift up Jesus Christ. Secondly, I wanted to encourage your pastor. And then I wanted to edify you folks, build you up in the faith. And I know if that happened, God did that. And I need to leave here and hurry to a prayer closet and get on my knees and give God the glory. Amen. But I appreciate you praying for me. So cheer up, my brother. Cheer up, my sister. I think there's a song we sing. Curtis Hudson said this in 20 Causes for Personal Failure. He said, number 7, a cause for personal failure is a negative mental attitude in general. And if we're not careful, we can have that negative attitude, and that doesn't help. We need to have a smile on our face. We're not fully dressed. My wife and I remind each other when we're getting out of the car to go to church. We have to smile. Amen. I like the choir director, Brother Stusa. He was telling them, smile. That's wonderful because we are some that the only Jesus that some people will see. We have a testimony to keep. We're living epistles. But make sure you repent and get right with God before you come to church. Amen. Get your heart perfectly clean and then get out of the car and get ready to have church. Now, we need to live our life without being so burdened down, and that's my heart tonight. I want to just kind of help you to not be so burdened down and have a merry heart. So now we can stand and go to Proverbs. Open your Bibles to Proverbs and 15, verse 13 and 15. I don't want to be a grump. I want to be cheerful and a merry heart. And hey, if your team loses tonight, it's all right, okay? Amen. Jesus still loves you. Amen. You're still saved. It's going to be all right. But over here, and it is 5, 6 minutes till 6. And so I'll try to hurry. But in Proverbs 15, and where's the verses here? 13 and 15. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. We need that wisdom. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil. I mean, they can't find anything good. But he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. We had a feast today. Amen. By the way, thank you for cooking all that. And ladies doing all the dishes and working so hard, and those that cleaned up, thank you so much. It was a blessing to us. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. Now, go over to Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. The Lord speaks about it. Let's read it out loud together. Ready? Here we go. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit at the bones. Heavenly Father, we come and we are so grateful, Lord, for what you've done today and blessed. And thank you for, Lord, the fact of the truth and the word of God that the gates of hell shall not prevail against your church. And we pray tonight that you spread a little cheer, Lord, and help us all with the burdens that come into our life and the trials, Lord, knowing that you're in the midst and that you're there. I thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ who bore our cross and paid for our sin and for the joy, Lord, went to the cross, the joy that laid before him. Thank you so much for this Sunday night service. And we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. First way that you can find a merry heart, have a merry heart. And there's so many points that you could do. You know, music helps. I remember an evangelist telling me his wife went into a deep depression. Depression was real. And they got good Christ-honoring gospel music, Christian music in the home, and it just helped her. He said it's real. Helped. She was going through a hard time and physically, and the music helped. I mean, exercise helps. It does help. Diet plus exercise equals good sleep. And so that's another way. And so many things you could say about this. But really, the first way to have a merry heart, if you're not saved, you need to trust Christ as your Savior, salvation. Amen. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." And you'll never have that joy. You'll never have peace with God until you come to that decision and say, "Lord Jesus, I need you as my Savior." And so it will change a person. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, what? He's a new creature. Old, all things are passed away. All things become new. And so John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." It's amazing to me how people can change. God can change people through this blessed book right here. Amen. This book changes lives. It's for all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And I'm thankful for the answers that we find, and it's got all the answers. And there's a quote here I wrote in my Bible. Ronald Reagan said, "Within the covers of the Bible are the answers for all the problems men face. And if we ever forget we're one nation under God, then we will be one nation gone under." And so yes, the Bible does have the answers, but get saved. If you're not saved, like the pastor said this morning, find somebody and say, "You know, I don't have that peace, but I want to know Jesus as my Savior." And He will save you. He will save you now. Trust in Him. And I'm thankful for salvation. Number two, a way of finding a merry heart and having a merry heart is to make a conscious decision. I remember preaching on bitterness years ago, and a lot of times people carry around bitterness from the past and unforgiveness. And I tell you, when you get victory over that and turn it over to the Lord and lay it in His crucified hands and at His crucified feet, it'll change your life. Bitterness is the one thing that'll destroy its own container. But you have two people, for instance, and their children were murdered. And I've given testimonies. And you have one lady that she comes forth as gold, and she has joy, inner joy and peace. And she's even has a smile on her face. And she gets through that with God's help. And you wonder how she could forgive somebody that killed her child. You have another lady that the same situation, murdered innocent child, but she was so bitter and so hurt, and so sometimes even bitter at God. People get bitter at God. What was the difference between those two ladies that had their children murdered? It was a choice. I heard that lady's testimony, how she said that. One chose not to let that define her, not to let that bring her down. Her child was in heaven. The other one, she chose just to be bitter and hang on to that grievous hurt. So make a decision. In Joshua's farewell address, in Joshua 24:15, he says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord."
Amen.
And he made a decision. Choose. If you're not saved, choose heaven.
Amen.
Don't choose hell. When you get Jesus, you'll be better. Amen.
Amen.
I've often said people that get older, they either get bitter or they get better. And the reason they get bitter oftentimes is they're not saved. They don't know they're going to heaven.
Right.
And they're just searching for the truth. So a way to have a merry heart, get saved. Number two, make a conscious decision to have a merry heart when you wake up in the morning. We are to praise Him in the morning and the night. He says, thank Him for His loving kindness in the morning and His faithfulness at night. We have a lot to thank the Lord for.
Amen.
Number three, and I only have five, you need a church and you need a pastor.
Amen.
You need a church. God's way is the church. He came up with that. We didn't. I know a lot of people, they say there's a bunch of hypocrites in the church. Guess what? Look in the mirror. We're all hypocrites, aren't we? And so church is great. It's a place what is a church? An ecclesia, a called out assembly of born again, a Christian, born again, children of the Lord, baptized believers for the purpose of evangelization. It's a church. We come together and we're Baptists, amen?
Amen.
And we believe in the Bible, biblical authority, and the two ordinances and the two offices and all right down the line. But thank God we're distinctive in our beliefs, because we believe, what are Baptists? They believe the Bible. And all the way back, the Baptists have not been protesters. We were hundreds of years before the Protestant, Reformation. Baptists were long before that. They go all the way back to Jesus, by the way. He was baptized by not John the Presbyterian, but by John the Baptist. And I'm proud, I'm thankful to be a Baptist. But Baptists have always been peace-loving people, seeking peace and peaceful. So you need a church to assemble. And I think what I told you, Brother Larry, I can't remember, but I think, well, I asked him if he was saved. He had a clear testimony of salvation. But I said, this is the way I remember it, sitting in your truck there at Walmart. Or was it my truck? I'm not sure. But Larry, well, why you're working on quitting smoking, why don't you come on to church and let the Lord deal with you and work with you? And he did. And praise God, he's still faithful. It's a blessing. But you need a church and a pastor. You need a pastor that prays for you. God gave pastors, folk, and you need to pray for your pastor. And it's hard as a pastor to kind of speak about yourself, but since I'm not a pastor, I'm going to speak a little bit about it. And you know what? God gives the pastors. You might need somebody to bury you. You might need somebody to marry you, but you, for certain, you need a pastor who takes care of you, spiritually speaking, and can counsel you and feed you. And I know for a fact you get fed in this church. Amen?
Amen.
I know that. Some of the great men you have coming through here, the men of God, and I saw on the bulletin you have Brother Chuck Harding coming. What a man of God. He's such a blessing. I've been able to hear him and talk to him. He's not a proud man. He just treats you like anybody. You know, he doesn't have favorites and such. And God is using him in a tremendous way. And I'm so thankful. But you get fed here in this church. And you have a pastor. Now, some of you pray for your pastor, but you don't really pray like you should for your pastor. Having been a pastor, there's a lot of spiritual attack, a lot of discouragement, a lot of arrows flying, because the devil always starts at the top, at the run of the ladder, and he's going to go after your pastor and his wife and the children. Do you pray for your pastor's children? Do you pray for comfort? You know, as I'm out of the pastorate now, Kathy and I have really taken up that role of holding our pastor's hands up. You remember in Moses' day when the battle was being fought in Joshua, they had to prop his hands up and they would succeed. They would win the victory when his hands were held up, Aaron and Hur. And so are you that? Now, pray for pastor, but also pray for Miss Melissa. Pray for the children. And that's what I try to do with my pastor, Brother Lane. But you're to esteem him highly. Go over to Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. And look, please, in verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them. To know them. Do you know your pastor? You know, I was on the receiving end when I was a pastor. You folks were so good to us. And, you know, for our birthdays and anniversaries and, you know, just all Christmas, you folks gave. And I hope that continues. I'm sure it has. But you should know their birthdays. My wife and I, we sacrifice. We have all the birthdays of Brother Lane's children. And he has a lot of children. And it's a blessing. But, you know, you can never outgive God. Amen. And it encourages. How about when you go out? I always try, Pastor Moore, to encourage Pastor Lane. It's not fake. It's not trying to get something or anything like that. But always after he preaches and pours his heart out, I always try to say, Pastor, that was great. And it is great. It's the truth. But thanks. I needed that. Or something down that line. Wonderful. Keep it up. Keep preaching, Pastor. But you really don't know how much that means to a preacher. And so I would encourage all of you, tell your pastor you love him. Give him cards on his anniversary. He hadn't asked me to say this, by the way. Said nothing about that. He's a humble man. But it says here, look, in verse 12, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them that which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. So if you want to find a merry heart, that goes a long way. And so salvation, a conscious decision to have a merry heart. Have you a church? And if you're not a member of this church, I recommend this church. Amen. Amen. Now, talk to the preacher. But this is a good place to be locked in and be planted in for your family. Cisco, we prayed for you. Cisco came up to me. I'm just going to expose. I hope you don't mind, but I didn't know there was anything with Cisco, but Martha and Victory came up to me. Pastor, I got to talk to you. Brother Hardesty. And he said, I want to ask you to forgive me. For what? I didn't know anything. I mean, he left on good terms, but he had tears coming. They were sincere tears. But Martha, how long had we prayed, you and Victor prayed for Cisco to come back to church? And he would come back to church, and we had a friendly relationship with each other. But you know what? It blesses my heart to see you on that pew right now, because that's an answer of Almighty God from your parents. And God's working. And so don't quit praying for people. Amen. And I appreciate your humble spirit in there. We need a church and we need a pastor. Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. And if we love Jesus, we should love what he loves. Anytime you come against this King James Bible, or you come against the church, you come against the pastor, you're going to lose. Touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. I think that's what it says. And so, love you, preacher. Love you, church. And can I just say this? It's not in the message. Hey, I've only been going here just 10 minutes. Your number one priority, ladies and gentlemen, young people, your number one priority in your life, which I've found to be true, is your walk with God. Amen. Your walk with God. Amen. You can't get enough Bible just coming to three services a week. I mean, you learn to love it. And the more you eat the Word of God, it gets in you. You'll get up at 3 in the morning to get your devotion, your walk with God, and kneel on your knees and say, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me. Every single day. That's your priority, not your children, not your spouse. Your walk with God. It was good, son, to see as we spent the night with you after getting out of the hospital. Early in the morning, before Larry had to go to work, his Bible was laid out there on the table. And he'd been walking with God. And so we need that every single day of our life if you want to have a merry heart. And so, yes, salvation, conscious decision. Number 3, you need a church and a pastor. You need your walk with God. Number 4, we need to do what you folks did tonight. We need to be more thankful. We need to have thanksgiving and a grateful heart. And we need to pray more. It was Lee Robertson that, I believe it was Clarence Sexton, that went up to his little room. He was probably near 100. Great statesman, pastor of that big church in College, Tennessee, Temple, Chattanooga, Tennessee. And Brother Clarence said, if you had to do over, what would you do in your life? I mean, he's like Moses, modern day Moses. And Brother Robertson said, if I had it to do over, I'd have prayed more. I'd have read my Bible more. And I'd had more faith if I had to do over. So, but thanksgiving, have a heart of gratitude. Have you thanked God today? Some of you gave testimonies. Appreciate that. Learn to be satisfied and thankful for everything. Have you thanked God today for anything? For one thing. Don't always think someone owes you. Amen. None of us are up for re-election. Praise God. And so be thankful. Let's go to Philippians real quick. Philippians 4. I love these verses. I love the book of Philippians. It's the theme of Philippians is joy. Philippians 4, when you get it, say amen.
Amen.
Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice.
Amen.
You got cancer? Rejoice. Amen. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Hey, don't threaten me with heaven. People say, Pastor, you had this and you have that. That's life. It's life. That's what our pastor Andy Bloom said in Ocala. Had multiple strokes. Went blind. Still preaching after 38 years. He said, I've got a tumor. I got to pray with that man every Sunday morning. And he passed away, actually, of a stroke. But you're talking about a man of God, Dr. Andy Bloom. Such a humble man. But he always had a merry heart, never complained. I don't think I ever heard him complain. He said, that's life. Well, they say my heart's going to go out. Don't threaten me with heaven. That's what he said. Learn to be satisfied and thankful for everything. Let's read on. Be careful for nothing. Maybe you have a care. That word actually means anxiety. I like that song, All Your Anxieties and All Your Cares. Take it to the mercy seat. Amen. God is there. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. There's a man in our church in Gateway Baptist Church. He prays. I love to hear him pray. He says, Lord, bless this missionary and thank you for what you're going to do. He puts thanksgiving with his prayer, just like the Bible says. We need to thank him more. Let your requests be made known. So what is your care tonight? What are you concerned about? Maybe a visit at the doctor, a child, or finances, or whatever it might be. Well, what are we to do with it? we're to pray about it. Supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God. We're not built to carry those burdens. You know, stress is a killer. But we're to cast them on the one. Cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There was a man when we started the church and we were at Canyon Elementary School, and he had cancer of the esophagus. He was a real sweet man. Seems like the ones that go through so much are sweet, aren't they? They come forth as gold. But they took his whole esophagus out. They took it out because it had cancer, and they took his stomach and actually, I don't know if you've ever heard of somebody like this, they put his stomach up here and he suffered. Oh my word, he suffered so much. And you just don't know what to tell. He was there in the hospital so long, he died actually in the hospital. But I believe the Lord had me give him this verse right here, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. That man told me nothing helped me but that passage. He said, that got me through. Go to Matthew 11:28 quickly. Matthew. Oh. Matthew 11. I love this one too. You know where I'm going, most of you. Come unto me, verse 28. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor. Some of you are laboring to carry it, and you don't have a merry heart. It's just wearing on you because you've been in the trial so long, it's just non-ending. And that's hard. You read the book of Job, you hear my pastor's been going through Job, and he lost it all. Pretty much, I mean, God kept him alive, but though you slay me, Lord, yet will I trust you. But he says, take my yoke upon you. This is Jesus speaking, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And friends, if our burden is not light, then we are not right. And we'll never have a merry heart unless we give it to Jesus, who is well able to carry our loads and carry our burdens. So prayer and thanksgiving helps us. Have a heart of gratitude. And last, number 5, ways to find to have a merry heart. Watch the tongue. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Watch this old tongue. I read this afternoon. It's full of deadly poison. You know how I hate snakes, folks. I had one encounter with a snake while in Ocala. My wife come running. There's a snake. He's crawling up the hill. He's about that long, a black racer, which everybody in Florida tells me, oh, they're good snakes. They're good snakes. This was so comical. I got a shovel, and I ran after that snake. That snake, he was like 100 miles an hour. No way. I mean, I'd swipe him here and he was over there. Finally gave up and said, bless him, Lord. But yeah, that was the only encounter. I saw no more snakes. God was good to me. Notice, one snake. I moved out of Florida. But watch your tongue. Go to 1 Peter. We got to quit. 1 Peter chapter 3. I love this. It's a good sermon right in here. How to love life and see good days. That would be a title of another message. But in chapter 3, verse 10, notice this. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, And his lips that they speak what? No guile. Now there was no guile in our Savior found in his mouth, but there's sure guile found in ours. We can hurt people so bad. And I've been guilty. But refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil. Push that away and do good. Let him what? Seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. And his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Verse 11 in chapter 4. Please look there. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Right here, if we speak this blessed book, we don't get in trouble. The words of God, they're pure. They're righteous. They're holy. And we need more righteousness. I need more righteousness. I'm not preaching down to you folks. What I find is we need more holiness in our life. And it's not so much as what makes us happy, but what makes us holy in our life. And that's true worship. The word worship means to crouch like a lion and to bow before the Lord and to humble ourselves. And he says, I'll give grace to the lowly. But he resists the proud. So tonight, if you need a little more merry heart, then get saved. Don't put him off. Trust the Lord. Make a decision tonight or even tomorrow. Now I'm going to make a decision to have this joy, this cheerful, pleasant, delightful, gleesome rejoicing. That's what merry means. To have this which comes from God. And we cannot live the Christian life except we have the help and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, who is just as much God as Jesus Christ, our Savior, and God the Father. And we ought to tell the Holy Spirit we love Him and appreciate Him putting up with us. And we ought to ask Him to forgive us all those times we've quenched Him and resisted Him in our life. And that helps with a merry heart. But watch this tongue. Watch this old tongue. Bridle the tongue. Bite the lip. Swallow your words. Jesus knew when to leave off speaking. And when there's an abundance of words, it tends to sin. We talk too much. He gave us two ears and one mouth. Amen. Amen. So watch the tongue. Watch the crowd you're with. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he, what? Meditate. Day and night. You have a praying pastor, whether you know it or not. And that's one of the things that impressed me just those early days on the phone. Let's pray about it. Let's pray about it. We need like Lee Robertson. I wish I'd have prayed more. And so, are you burdened down tonight? God does not want His children to be burdened down. He wants you to have a merry heart. Let's stand together. Even in the trials.